On our Sunday morning service here, we have been studying, and now we are in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. And we're going to bow our heads, ask the Lord to just help us to understand what is being said. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for the word of God that was written down so that we could have something to understand better who you are and what is going to happen in this world. We're thankful for the book of Revelation that was given unto John as he was on the Isle of Patmos in prison. God gave him this word, and we're so thankful that we have it today to study and to ask you to show us how it is, what it means. And we're very thankful. We ask you to bless this word to our hearts. Help each one here to understand. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, we have been studying now for a while, several weeks. And so I want you to think about what will take place at this time in history. We are going to see this, that this is future. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to John, showing him what is going to take place in the future during the time of tribulation. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Jesus Christ is going to come back for his people who are fully yielded and walking with him and seeking him. They're right in this first part of the Bible, they're called the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures. And later, they're called the bride, but they don't get married right away. They are on the thrones. They're around God's throne in chapter 4. But I want us to read one scripture. You know, a lot of people say, well, these 24 elders and these 4 living creatures, they're some kind of unknown beings that we don't know what they are. I heard a minister say that. And I was hearing him and on the television. I said, read on down. And he never would read on down. So he never did know what the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders were. But I want you to notice this verse in verse 8 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 8, if you will turn there. It's talking about Jesus. It says, when he had taken the book, the 4, they're really supposed to be called living creatures in the original. The living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign, and the text says on the earth, but the original says over the earth. Now, these people are people who have consecrated their life to God in their lifetime. And, you know, this age that we live in is called grace, or it's called the church age. And it's been over 2,000 years since Christ was here. And so a long, long time, during this 2,000 years, God has been dealing with people to yield their lives, let him work in their lives all of this time. And it's gone on and on. Many people that I knew in my earlier life when I was at Bible school and different things, I was under Sister Bodie and Brother Copley. Brother Copley was gone, pardon me. He was gone, but we were reading a lot of his literature. Anyway, we all knew and we thought Jesus was coming right then. Praise the Lord. But he didn't. And so here we are again today, right here in this place. And there are some of us here who have watched for Jesus to come for all these years and felt like it was going to be today. But we keep on trusting. We keep on believing. We know where we're going. We know that we're on the way. There's a song that says that. He knows who we are. He loves us. And he's working in all of our lives to help us to be there, to help and rule and reign with Christ. Now, I want to remind you of some scripture first, and that's, you don't need to turn to this one. It's 1 Timothy 4:1. It says there that some shall depart from the faith. And so over the years of the church age, which started way back there, you know, with the disciples and Apostle Paul and all of those, there have been many, many doctrines taught, many, many different beliefs. But the Word of God is what we go by, not by anything that man speaks of or thinks he knows what's going on, so forth. We don't go by man's knowledge. We go by God. And we know that many people have actually departed from the real, true Word of God. Now, in 2 Timothy, that's in 2 Timothy 4:1, but I want to go for a moment in 2 Timothy. If you could turn back there. It goes that way when you're turning back to Timothy. Okay? And we're going to go to the third chapter. And we're going to read just a little bit here. Verse 1, this know also. This is Apostle Paul writing, and he says that this is something we should know, that in the last days, perilous time shall come. The word perilous, you know, it's written in Greek to begin with, but interpreted in the Greek language, it says it's dangerous times, a time of loss of strength. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now just think about what we're living in today, how the world is acting, and these terms that the God has brought here are surely true. Men are lovers of their own selves. And it's not just men. You know, sometimes the Bible uses men, and it means the mankind or the human race, okay? We'd like to think it was just men. So, and covetous, and boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, and without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. And that word means rebellion, rebellion against society. That's what that word means, incontinent, rebellious against society. Now, in the English language, probably incontinent doesn't mean that. We all know, don't we? But the Greek that was originally for that word there means a rebellion against society. And do we see that around us? Yes. Okay, and so going on. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. We heard yesterday someone telling us that school children can say God, but they can't say Jesus in church, in schools. Many schools have that rule, that they cannot say Jesus. Horrible, isn't it, to think about? Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. If they have these kind of things going on, get away from them. Be separate. In 1 Thessalonians, which is one or two books back, three books back, in the fifth chapter, I just want to read a few verses also before we go on to Revelation. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. This is mentioned several places. Jesus Christ, he's not going to come and just speak to the whole world, here I am, see, here I come. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to speak to people that are watching and waiting for him. And the trumpet's going to sound, and those people will hear that trumpet. He says, you know perfectly. I hope that we do. A lot of us have been in the Word of God for many, many years. But if we're here today and we don't know perfectly that the day of the Lord's coming soon as a thief in the night, do a lot of praying. Ask the Lord to give you that peace that Jesus is going to come and we are going to be leaving this place if we're ready to go. Verse 3, and when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, all believers are of the day. See, we have light with Christ. He's our light. He's in this Gospels, he calls himself the light of the world. He is. We go by his light, not by the world. Praise the Lord. So he says, therefore, don't sleep as do others, but watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. That's part of the armor of God in another part of the scripture, Ephesians 6. But that speaks of the protection that we have when we have faith, when we really believe God for our needs and the needs of others in our family. Whatever is going on, we have faith. And he says, and love, put on faith and put on love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So God has not appointed us unto wrath, but he has appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, Jesus can save you today. All you have to do is ask him, and he will save your heart, save your life. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to our chapter 6 now in Revelation. And you may wonder, why on earth did she read all that? Well, there's a reason. Let's go back here. This chapter talks about the Antichrist, the very first verse. There's going to be a man come upon this earth who is known in the scripture as Antichrist, in other words, against Christ. And he's going to be such a good leader of this world that people are just going to, oh, you know, you've seen them do that on TV. You can see somebody they really, really like who's a politician or something. They just almost worship the ground he walks on. That's the way it is. Well, that's going to happen in the end time when this evil man appears. And Revelation talks about it again later. And in this chapter, it's talking about how he's going to come in this first verse. So let's read it. I have so many notes, and then I looked at them, and I've skipped a whole bunch. So since we're short of time, I won't read those. Okay. I'm not trying to be silly. I just have this mannerism. Okay. All right. So verse 1. I saw, now this was John the Beloved, one of the disciples, the only one left. All of them had been persecuted and killed and everything, and he was the only one left. And he's on the Isle of Patmos, which you can look up on a map and see. And right to the west of Turkey, right out there in the ocean top part. And he says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now, in the previous chapter, we had the Lord Jesus Christ with this book, and the book had seven seals on it. And they were saying, who will open the book and show what the seven seals mean? Well, that's the job of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's the one that is revealing this to John. So he'll write it down. And so here today, we're reading it all these over 2,000 years later. Isn't that beautiful? And so it says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. He had the big book, and he took the seal off, and the book opened up. And we see what is in the first part of the book. Now, they didn't have books like us, okay, way back there. They had scrolls. So we really don't know whether this was literally a book or a scroll. But praise the Lord, we don't need to really know that, do we? God opened it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb. He said, I am the Lamb that takes the sin of the world. John said that. John the Baptist was baptizing, and Jesus came walking, and he shouted out and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Why was he called a Lamb? because he was going to be the sacrifice for our sins. He was going to go to the cross. So here he's called the Lamb. And the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And one of the four living creatures, that's the proper translation, said, "Come." And the NC is in italics, so if I skip those two words, that's why I'm not saying those, because they aren't in the original language, okay? "Come," he says. So what he's saying, "Come on, show us what's in the first seal." You may be saying that of me now. "Come on, show me." Okay. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." This is not Jesus Christ. He's the one that's opened in the seal. This man that comes forth, see, we're talking about tribulation time now, 7 years. This man is going to come at the beginning of the tribulation, and he's going to be such a special person. He is one of the smartest, they're going to think he's the smartest man in the whole world. Another scripture later on in our text in Revelation 13 says he's called the Beast. He's called the Antichrist. So he's going to be like the perfect man. He really has a good voice. He's able to bring good speeches. He's going to just show everybody in the world what peace is going to be. Oh, it's going to be something. The people of the world who don't know Jesus Christ are just going to fall all over. They're just going to think, oh, wonderful, wonderful man. So that's the first part of the tribulation, that this will happen when that Antichrist comes on the scene. And notice, he's on a white horse. Jesus Christ is going to ride on a white horse in chapter 19 of Revelation with some of his people that have gone to heaven riding with him, coming down to judge the earth. So the Antichrist is an antichrist. He is a false lord, a false. He gets everybody to worship him, but he is a false lord. That's why we call him against Christ, antichrist. Okay, and so he's there sitting upon his beautiful white horse, and he has a bow, and he has a crown. So he's going to be the leader of the world. Everybody is just going to follow him right away, the leader of the world. And it says that he has a bow, but he doesn't have any arrows. What's he going to be? He's going to say, "Peace, we've got peace." See, Jesus has come and taken some people away from this earth in translation and in resurrection, the overcoming peaceful of the church. But here he's going to pretend, "I am the Redeemer. I'm the one that you should follow." And people are just going to fall all over him. They're just going to follow him. Now, the Bible tells us no believer will believe in him. The believers that are left, they will suffer great persecution for being believers, even going back to the guillotine, chopping their heads off for believing Jesus Christ is the Lord. But the Lord will preserve many of his people clear through the tribulation, and others just a part of time there in that tribulation. So we see the Antichrist first. We're looking at the tribulation here by these different scenes that we're going to be seeing. So he has this crown on his head, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. He didn't even have to fight. The Bible says it'll just be, you know, just a great time in the natural. People just think it's so wonderful. Oh, but it's going to change. And that's what we read in verse 3. Now, there was another seal on the book, and the Lord opened up the seal and let John see what was inside. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." He's inviting John to come and see what is there. I'm inviting you to see it. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And this happens in the book of Revelation. Not very long, peace is taken away. And they've got the Antichrist established, and he's running the whole thing, and he's doing things. He's killing the Christians. It's going to be a terrible time. And there's going to be people that rebel. There's going to be terrible, war, terrible, terrible times of war and different things. And if you read on in the book of Revelation, there's much more than that. Mountains are going to fall. There's going to be great earthquakes. There's going to be the ocean will turn to blood, all this stuff. I believe it. So that's the next thing that's going to happen, is that there's going to be the peace is going to be taken from the earth and many, many killed. That they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And verse 5, when they had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come. And I beheld, see, John is getting to see these. I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. It's going to be great famine. Great famine. We read about it on over in the book. And that scales that God has in his hand there. He's just weighing out that they're going to have to pay a lot of money for anything that they get for food or if they can find food. It's going to be a horrible time in that tribulation time. Starvation. Oh my, it's going to be so bad. We're going to be in with the Lord. We claim that by faith. And also, even the ones who don't fully heal right now will go a little ways into the tribulation. They'll go up to heaven too. Seventh chapter of Revelation. Praise the Lord. So, going on to the fourth seal, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed after him. Followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with word, the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Not going to be a fun time. As this tribulation time goes on, and the Antichrist is so strong, and he's killing people with guillotine. He's chopping their heads off because they're Christians. And then the famine, not enough food, sicknesses, illnesses, everything. If we don't know Jesus Christ, we need to be sure we've received him so we don't have to go through this. So it's going to get really bad. And notice it says death and hell follow because the unbelievers, they won't go to be with Jesus. The ones that have got the mark of the beast on their forehead or their hand, they can't buy or sell unless they have that. And those people that have done that, they're not going to heaven. They've chosen who they're going to follow, and that's the Antichrist, the against Christ person. They're going to follow him. And so they're not going to heaven. And it says there that death and hell will follow these people. And the power was given that he might take a fourth part of the earth and kill them with the word. What does that mean? The Antichrist will say, go forth and kill those Christians. See, the word will come from authority that has placed himself there. And the devil's placed him there. And they're going to kill. And with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So the souls of those believers just fly away to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. They go up to heaven. They're no longer in their body, but they are there in heaven. And eventually they will have a what we call a glorified body. They will be changed into Christ's likeness. And so they are there with the Lord. And it says, they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants and all of their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So some of them will be killed. Their spirits will go up to the Lord and they're clothed in their white robes. And there'll still be some behind of other believers that are going to be killed for their belief. But there will be people that hide away, and the Lord will protect them all the way through. It's the way it is till Jesus comes back in power. All right. And so, going on, it says there in verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord? And he gave them white robes, right? And he told them to wait a little while, that their fellow people, that they other believers will come, and they will be with you. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. You know, a piece of woven cloth that light can't get through. And science says that the sun, you know, probably not going to last real long. But anyway, we know that the Lord is going to allow this sun to be black as sackcloth. Now, he doesn't destroy the sun, because the sun is here during the millennial reign when people are going to be living on the earth. But he makes it so there's no light. And really, spiritually, there was no light anyway, was there? Except the ones who were trusting in God during that time of tribulation. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree, casting her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. It's not going to be a fun time. It's going to be a terrible time, but we're going to be happy. We'll be in heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty man and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they just went in there, and they were so calm, and they just waited for things to settle. That's not what happened. Verse 16, and they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. They didn't cry out to God. They didn't cry out and say, Lord, forgive me, save me. They instead cry out for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. We don't look at Jesus Christ as being a wrathful person. You know, when he was here on the earth, he was very humble and just so sweet and healing people and taking care of people and everything. And we just don't think of that. But one of these days, after he has given thousands and thousands of people opportunity to believe in him and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to be full of wrath to the unbeliever who has taken the mark of the beast and who is just totally against him will not believe. His wrath is going to be seen. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, I want to tell you right now what we're going to do, because I just now feel it. I want you to say, thank you, Lord, with me. Thank you, Lord. What are we thanking him for? I'm not going to be here. Praise the Lord. I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that he's coming again very soon for those people that are dedicated and yielding to him. Okay? So, oh, thank God. Thank God. He's a wonderful Lord. Praise the Lord. Each of us can be assured. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We know where we're going. There's a little song that says, I know where I'm going, and I know I'm on the way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.